Now we move to part two. We'll have the first reading for the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time, and then look at the psalm. The theme is the law, the Torah, as a gift from God, and obedience to the law, and how there are many ways that we can subvert the law. One is to disobey it. Another is to keep adding little laws to hold up the big law. Even when that's done with great zeal, there tends to be a confusion. All right. So the church takes this text from Deuteronomy, chapter 4. Deuteronomy pictures Moses on top of Mount Nebo, looking over the promised land, not allowed to enter it because of that thing back there at Meribah. And so, you remember that, you know, when he stood there and acted like, I'm going to get the water of this rock and hit it. And the water came out because God said it would come out. And then God said to him, that was a big sin. And you're not going to enter the promised land because of it. See, he's kind of tough with his own, because he wants to get them holy. Okay. Now this is it. Now therefore, Israel, hear the statutes and ordinances I am teaching you to observe, that you may live and enter in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. So obey the Lord. Why did the Lord give them a law? To form them as a people and to guide them on what it means to be human. The Ten Commandments are like this table. And they're saying, on the table you're human, off the table you're not. That's why don't kill, don't commit fornication, don't steal, don't... See, that's like saying, here's the edge, don't go over it. Because outside of that, there's non-humanity and estrangement from God. Okay. In your observance of the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am commanding you, you shall not add to what I command you, nor subtract from it. That's a big challenge, as we'll see. You have seen with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed from your midst everyone who followed the Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord, your God, are still alive today. This is part of the text that doesn't find it into the reading. It's just skip, but I'm reading it so you can get the sense of, because it will pick up again in a moment. See, I'm teaching you the statutes and ordinances of the Lord my God has commanded me, that you may observe them in the land you are entering to possess. And now, we go back following the text, going on right with it, but the next part is part of the liturgical text. The part I just read was edited out to save space and time, I think. Okay. Observe these statutes carefully, for this is your wisdom and discernment in the sight of the peoples, who will hear of all these statutes and say, this great nation is truly a wise and discerning people. There were many collections of law. Hammurabi has one, which is quite impressive. The amount of humanity that's in there is amazing. We have a copy of Hammurabi's law. But you see, you can tell from a country's laws, from a people's laws, who they are. That's why we are protesting certain laws that are in or about to become in our country, because they're not wise and discerning at all, and they will lead to inhumanity. And so people who read these laws will say, what a wise and discerning people. And that, then he goes on, for what great nation is there that has gods so close to us as Adonai our God is to us? Whenever we call upon him. You know why? Because he's the living God. He can answer. God, come to my help. And he comes because he's a living God. If I say, oh, Zeus, come to my help, there's no Zeus. So he can't come to my help. Now, in that world, they were well aware of demonic forces. Angelic forces, maybe, but demonic, mostly. And you got to keep them happy and call on them and so forth. And the Jews were taught, I am your only God. Forget them. They're only demons. Forget them. So now you see, what great nation has God so close to it? Nobody. As Adonai, our God, is close to us whenever we call upon him. We have a living God. He hears us and answers us. That's why. The others, they're not living gods. If you get stuck enough in it, you get some living spirits, all right, but they're evil. Okay. Or what great nation has statutes and ordinances that are as just as this whole law which I am setting before you today? Now you see, the Deuteronomy text, which is about 6th century B.C., or maybe a little before, is portraying Moses as a great Levitical preacher. And he's preaching on the law for which he's responsible, though it's developed over the centuries. And he's saying, how lucky we are to know God's will. In fact, there's a line like that in the book of Baruch. How blessed we are. How blessed we are, O Israel, because the mind of the law has been made, the Lord has been made known to us. Aren't we lucky? God has instructed us how to be human. You shall not kill. You shall not kidnap or steal. You shall not commit adultery. Honor your father and your mother. They're the sources of your life. And then all of that is developed, and you have texts like, when you see your enemy's beast of burden, overladen and collapsing, go over and help him. Enemy, enemy, okay. But now, he needs help. Go help him. That's human. You see, the law is meant to make us human. That's what it's for. As I say, if you there's a table in front of me. If you picture this table as the law, it's got edges. Outside the edges, boom, no humanity. And that's why bad laws can corrupt a nation. All of this that we're involved in now, which Chesterton predicted back in 1927, he said the next great issue that the church is going to face will have to do with sexuality. And that's what we're facing. And so, that text there from the book of Deuteronomy, see, portraying Moses giving his last will and testament. But it's written in the style of the Levitical preachers of the northern kingdom, who are urging the people to keep the law and to trust God and obey him. So here's Moses. So historically, we figure it was written by northern Levites to encapsulate the preaching that they were doing themselves, urging people to keep the law and to trust God. And it's very beautiful. And in there, there's one of these, this isn't part of the reading, but I want to point it out to you. Even in Deuteronomy, you got this, and it's helpful in Deuteronomy. And therefore, you go, and where there's a pagan village, you blot it out. Burn it, kill everybody, kill even the beast, don't take anything from it. You know, it's Herem. And say, well, how could they have been like that? Well, when the book of Deuteronomy was being composed, there was no way the Jewish people could do that to anybody. They didn't have the power. So what is it? It's a symbolic way of saying, keep the evil out of your country, keep the evil out of your life. Not go killing and burning people. Keep the evil out of your country and out of your life. But said in this, recalling an ancient legislation, which may or may not have been enforced, we don't know, the right of Herem. But by the time we get to Deuteronomy, it can't possibly, it's because they couldn't do it. They didn't have the army, they didn't have the force, and so forth. Okay. So now just a few words about Psalm 15, which is about the law from another point of view. It's a very beautiful psalm. It's a psalm of David, and it says, Adonai, who can dwell in your tent, and who may dwell on your holy mountain? It's a pilgrim psalm. People are coming to Jerusalem. They're going to go up to Mount Zion and enter the temple. And this is a psalm they're singing, you see? Mi yagur bohelecha, who can dwell? That's, you might have heard gur, that's the word ger, be a resident alien sort of, who can dwell there? Who can abide in your tent? Okay, now this is the answer. Whoever walks without blame, doing what is right, speaking the truth from his heart. Because, like it says in Psalm 12, I think I've quoted this verse, a remarkable description of a politician kind of guy. You don't have to be a politician, but people like that. It says, Lev v'lev yedaberu. They speak with heart and heart. In other words, I'm really going to expose my heart. I'm going to speak from my heart. And the psalm says, no, you're not. There's a heart behind that heart. And that's where you really are. The one you're exposing and saying it's from your heart is a lie. And that's what he's saying here, you see. Speaking the truth from the heart. Not acting like you're doing that. Really do it. Speak the truth from your heart. Otherwise, you're not going to dwell in the tent of the Lord. Whoever does not slander with his tongue, does no harm to a friend, never defames a neighbor. You notice again, it's like the letter of James. It's all about your tongue. Whoever disdains the wicked but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath despite the cost. If I've made an oath, I am going to offer 3 heifers to the Lord if he does X, and the Lord does X, then bring your 3 heifers and don't start to fudge. You know, well, I really meant to, you know. Pay your debts to the Lord, in other words. Lends no money at interest. In those days, you see, nowadays, money is considered like wheat. If I give you a bushel of wheat and you plant it, you're going to get 40 bushels of wheat. So I could say to you, you can have this bushel, but when you pay it back, give me 3 bushels back. That's interest. Well, money is treated like that nowadays. Money is like a bushel of wheat. If I don't give the money to you, I can put it somewhere else and gain, you know? And so, but in these days you couldn't. It was just a way to take advantage of the poor. And so, and don't accept bribes against the innocent. Okay, whoever acts like this shall never be shaken. So, you say, who may abide in your tent? Who can live on your holy mountain? Whoever walks without blame, does what is right, and the first thing, speaking truth from the heart. Because if that's not there, society is ruined. Nobody trusts anybody. And of course, that's the problem with politics. Everybody's lying, everybody knows they're lying. Not everybody all the time, maybe, but you know, it's not from the heart. And we have to watch ourselves that we don't tailor things. It doesn't mean I have to say, I don't like you at all, you know. But it does mean we have to speak from the heart. Amen. Mm-hmm.